First of all, we want to consider the needs of Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 26, starting at verse 36, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry here and watch with me. And he went a little farther, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them, and went away again and prayed, the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples, and saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me." Father, we just ask you now to undertake in these message, in these thoughts, in this message. And Father, we just look to you now to teach us in the anointing of the Holy Spirit what your needs are. We thank you this afternoon that as you have described this portion of Scripture, we can see that you had needs, and your needs related to our needs, and our needs were your needs. And we thank you and praise you as we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. The Lord Jesus Christ, taken in one of the greatest trials of his life, teaches us some very valuable lessons in this chapter. First of all, how he responded to the trial that he was entering into. He went into the Garden of Gethsemane, his familiar spot, and there he prayed. The Lord Jesus Christ got alone with God. And as he entered into this place of prayer, which apparently had meant so much to him, he fell before God and began to ask God's special request and for strength, and he fellowshiped with God in a very strange way, but in a definite way. He took his disciples with him, and he said, "Sit here with me. I want you to pray." The Lord Jesus Christ had a particular need, and it was revealed with several other collective needs. His first need was that he definitely, because he was a man as well as God, and in his hypostatic union, operating in the full weakness of his humanity, identifying himself with us, his need was first of all one to fellowship with them in the midst of the trial. So the Lord Jesus Christ came, and he said, "Sit here with me while I pray." And his need was to fellowship with God, as we'll be mentioning in a moment, and to fellowship with his disciples. Because the Word of God says, 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 shall put 10,000 to flight, in Leviticus 26 and verse 8. And therefore the Lord Jesus Christ needed fellowship to strengthen his humanity in the midst of the tremendous trial that he was going to enter into. Recently, we received this letter from a servant of God, and the servant of God in the letter said that he was resigning in the ministry that he's in and was going to withdraw from all evangelical Christianity, even though he was not going to withdraw from God, because he said God was the greatest world he'd ever lived in. But nevertheless, he was going to withdraw from Christianity as far as a minister or pastor. And he was going to go into marketing and sales and still be true to God. And the story behind it was that he was lonely, misunderstood, and that he was not having the corporate body minister unto him his needs, even though he was ministering consistently to their needs. And in the ministry that he has, he feels very much alone because he hasn't got the kind of a corporate body that is sensitive to his spiritual and emotional needs. The Lord Jesus Christ is in the garden, but the disciples are not sensitive to his needs. And could I say this afternoon? One of the tremendous needs of the hour is for every true child of God to learn to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and sensitive to each other's needs. It's one great need. Listen, the world is so filled up with anxiety and noise and frustration. The world is so filled up with what they're going to do next that they cannot understand the tremendous needs of their brother and sister in Jesus Christ. Or they cannot understand the tremendous needs of God. And instead of understanding the needs of God himself, as he longs and yearns for people to have their needs met, instead of understanding that, there's just kind of a shallow, surface-like hurrying where people are not sensitive to the needs of Jesus Christ and to the needs of one another. Jesus fell on his face and prayed. He said, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, thy will be done." And he came back and his disciples were sleeping. They were not spiritually conditioned to meet the need of Jesus Christ in the greatest trial of his life. And they went to sleep on him. They were not sensitive. Listen, I'm going to list some needs that the Lord Jesus Christ has today, even as he had them in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I want you to throw your heart open and allow the Holy Spirit to dispel the wandering thoughts of the common mundane things in your thought life, so that you would realize that our precious Savior has some needs this afternoon. Some real needs that relate to his redemption, that relate to his humanity, that relate to his divine attributes. And I want you to consider with me, through grace, how we can meet those needs. Jesus' first need was that they love him. He began to be lonely as he went down that trail through Gethsemane and to the cross. And he wanted Peter, John, and James to express love. And he took him in the Garden of Gethsemane because he wanted a fellowship of love. He had a need to be loved with his own precious love. And remember this afternoon that the greatest need in the world that every individual has is to receive God's love. In Jesus Christ operating in the weakness of his humanity, in the unbelievable conquest of his trial, needed them to love him. But they went to sleep. They were with him, but they went to sleep. They were in the garden, but they were not sensitive to his heartbeat. In a meeting like this, every one of us, I'm sure, perhaps are becoming more sensitive. That every service is an opportunity, first of all, to worship God, to fellowship with God, and then to be sensitive of the needs of God and the people around us. And every single meeting time when we gather together, whether it be two or three or many, it's a time to be sensitive to God in loving him and worshiping him and sensitive to one another's needs. Listen, in so many words, Jesus was saying, I need you to love me. I need you to sit and pray with me. I need you to care, because right now I'm going to operate in the fullness of my humanity, and I'm going to be crucified in weakness in 2 Corinthians 13 and 4. And I'm going to enter into the very lowest ebb of my human existence. I'm going to take the sins of the world on my body, and they'll be placed on my mind. Love me. Pray with me. Stay with me. Strengthen me. Because now I'm learning personally obedience by the things that I suffer in Hebrews 5:8. And I even fear in my humanity because of the nature of your sins, and because of the nature of the trial, and because of the nature of my being separated from God the Father in a few moments. I even sense the possibility that I might die premature before the cross and not able to die for the sins of the world. I sense all the demons as they begin to mobilize and organize and make me an object of their demonic attack. And I sense it coming in. And I need you. And so he said, pray. Pray with me. For an hour. Just pray. And he came back. And they were sleeping. And he went and fell on his face. Tremendous need. He said, Father, if it's possible, let this whole cup pass from me. Nevertheless, thy will be done. And it wasn't possible. That is, if we were to be redeemed, if our sins were to be covered, if we were to have heaven as a place prepared for us, it was not possible. And then, as we've mentioned in the past, I believe he meant, if it be possible, don't let the cup of death happen to me here in the garden. Let me go to the cross, for which I am purposed to do, in John 17. And he came back the third time, and they were sleeping. And he said, rise up now. Because the enemies are ready, and the Son of Man is about to be betrayed, and it's all ready. Rise up now, and let us be going. Listen, in your hearing, in perhaps the many things that you and I have to do, be very sensitive to the need of Jesus Christ. He needs us to love Him. He needs us, as we said in a long time ago in 1 Corinthians 2:9, eyes have not seen and ears have not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love Him. And He needs to have us initiate love to Him. And He needs it constantly and continually. Even now, though He's glorified, and though He's in heaven, and though the Christ that's living in our hearts needs to us to have us initiate this love to Him. Another need that Jesus Christ had. He had a need for the Father's fellowship. And more than any time in His humanity, in His human existence as a man upon earth, He needed that. But the Father cut it off. And so the Son cried out in Matthew 27:46, my God, and my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why, at a time like this, when I'm weak, when I'm hurting, when my body is bleeding, when I need you so much, and you've never left me before, and you've always been with me. And he said, why hast thou forsaken me? He was in need of the Father's fellowship, but couldn't have it. Because of our sins. His needs were great. And even as when we are entering into sin and entering into something that we shouldn't enter into, we have tremendous need for the Father's fellowship, but can't have it because sin separates. And we want to hear the voice of God and want to hear the Word of God and want to hear experientially the forgiveness of God. But we can't because of sin. And Jesus Christ was taking our sins in His body, and the Father had to turn His back. And the Son says, "Why have You forsaken Me?" Because He was saying in so many words, "I have never sinned." In the weakness of His humanity, detached from the opportunity because of His own voluntary degree to experience His divinity, even though He was God, and He said, "I have never sinned. There's been no fault found upon Me. And Father, why hast Thou forsaken Me? Why? I need You. And at that time, the Father and the Holy Spirit completely and totally detached themselves from intervention. They detached themselves from entering into His need, from entering into His trials, from entering into His pressures. And they detached themselves completely, though He was God, and yet operating in the fullness of His humanity, identified with us in every single sin that all of us have committed, put into one package and placed upon Him. He desperately needed the Father's fellowship but couldn't have it. And though He was sinless, yet He became sin in 2 Corinthians 5:21, that He might make us the righteousness of God in Him. And immediately the Lord Jesus Christ, looking up to heaven, hanging on the cross, in total desperation, said, "I'm in need. The disciples have forsaken Me." In Matthew 26:56, "You have forsaken Me." In Matthew 27:46, "I'm in need. I'm in need." Will somebody hear me? He said, "I'm in need. I have needs." But people turned their backs, and God turned His back. And the perfect, spotless, suffering Lamb of God simply turned and said, because of His submission to that He really didn't understand in that particular time, in that particular mood, because He declared not to and agreed not to. And the Lord Jesus Christ, totally misunderstood and totally forsaken, with our sins upon Him, entered into a tremendous need that was not being met by God and was not being met by man. And by His grace and mercy, there'll never have to be a time, even though we be guilty, and even though we fail, when we cry like that to God, He always hears and always answers, because He can fellowship with us when we repent and when we confess. He can fellowship with us because of what that precious Son did in our place as our substitute in that vicarious atonement. And I want you to think this afternoon with worship, with appreciation, and with thanksgiving to God. Thank Him that He went through a period when His need was not met with God the Father, when His need was not met with His close associates and friends and loved ones, when He went and didn't have His need met, and it was a tremendous need, an unbelievable need, but He did it so that every single need in your life could be met by Him and by grace and through faith. And that's not all the needs that He had. Another need that He has this afternoon. In Matthew 14:14, He had compassion on the multitudes. And His need this afternoon is that you and I have the same compassion, because that's why He died. And in our hurrying and hustling and bustling, He wants us to know that the hour is short, as the Majestic sang this afternoon, that the time is late. And He wants us to join Him in Matthew 14:14, in Matthew 15:32, in Luke 19:41, and in John 11:35. He wants us to join Him and with compassion over the lost, over the weak, over the sick, over the needy, over the lonely, over the suffering, over those that have a heartache. And He wants us to more than just acknowledge it, but He wants us to enter into that divine heart compassion. And He has a need that we do that in order that we may share with them His life and His love personally. So He has a need that we love one another as He loved us in John 13:34. Do you realize His need this afternoon is that we love each other with the same love that He had for us? And He has a tremendous need that we do so we can share it and express it. And the very nature of His sharing His life conditioned Himself to have a need. And because He gave His life, it produced a need to receive love from you and love from His disciples. And the very fact this afternoon, even the precious God-man in heaven, because He loves so many, the whole world, because He loves so deeply, that conditions His own heart for a need of love, for a need of fellowship, for a need to be ministered unto. And that's why the priest in Ezekiel 44:15 ministered to him first. That's why he said in Acts 1:8, be ye witnesses unto me first before your witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea. In Acts 1:8, he has a need to be loved, a need to be worshipped, a need for your fellowship. He has a need because he's still a person with a personality. He's still a person with emotions. And because he loves so much and loves so deeply, he needs that love returned. He needs to receive it, and he loves it and enjoys it and cherishes it and gets so much pleasure out of it. In Revelation 4:11 and glory in Isaiah 45:7, and he wants it today. Take time to love him. Take time to worship him. Take time to meet his need, because he's meeting the needs of thousands. And don't forget, he has a need. He has a need of your fellowship. He has a need of you coming to him and just plain loving him for love's sake and worshiping him for worship's sake and talking to him for fellowship's sake. He has a need, and it's a need that you come and say, Lord, I just want to take some time and minister to you and love you. In everything I do, I want to minister to you. You have a need. For years I felt that you was God and you have no needs. And I sort of put you as a mechanical God instead of a real God that has mind and emotions and will like you created us to have. You have the same needs, only it's on a different scope. You have needs. And Lord, by your grace and through what you've done and through who you are in me, I want to minister to your needs. He has a need then that we love each other as he loves us, to share his character, to share his likeness, and to reveal his image. And then he has a need. In Ephesians 4:32, the word of God says, be ye kind one to another and tenderhearted, and forgiving one another as God for Christ's sake forgives you. He has a need that we forgive one another with a tender heart. And when he sees people doing this, you're meeting his need, because you're responding to his love and to his own forgiveness, which was extended toward us personally. And he has a need that we forgive and forget with a tender-hearted love that only has its origin in God. That's his need. And then he has a need this afternoon that we be witnesses in every single area that we can, not mechanically, but communicate his life and communicate his gospel. He has a need that we look at India this afternoon and their starving masses and get down and weep before God and say, Lord, save souls and meet the needs of these starving heathens in India. He has a need that we consider the different mission fields in the world and be missionary-minded with a Christ-centered love for the world that's honest and true and motivated by him. He has a need that we build up each other and edify each other, that we minister life to each other and meet each other's needs to the sensitivity of his own spirit. He has a need that we be one new man, that we function as God functions, that we live as God lives, that we love the word of God as God declared it. He has a need this afternoon that we come together through his grace and through his mercy, and band together with one heart, one soul, one mind, one purpose, one fervency, and one heartbeat of love. He has a need that we submit ourselves to the cross and entering into his resurrection and ascension. He has a need that we dwell together in not only unity, but much more important, in the union of the Trinity. He has a need that we pray and pray fervently and earnestly for one another and for the lost and for our enemies. He has a need this afternoon that we come together and let our heart beat under the banner of heaven, and let our understanding have the knowledge of his wisdom, and let his fervency come into our hearts with the very earnestness of his divine attributes. He has a need that we'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. He has a need that we'll walk by faith and trust him and not by sight. He has a need that we'll share him in every situation. He has a need that we'll turn to him and not circumstances and not self or rationalization. He has a need that we'll minister grace instead of legalism, love instead of law, that we'll minister heaven instead of hell, that we'll minister his life instead of death. He has a need that we'll come before him and share him in every situation and declare that he's beautiful. He has a need that we study and grow in the Word of God, that we study to grow in praying without ceasing, that we study the Word of God and allow circumstances to come in without murmuring, without doubting, and without rationalization, and conform us to His very image right here on earth in a progressive growth of faith while we operate in our humanity. He has a need that we yearn for His second coming, that daily and any time that the Spirit speaks, we look up and honestly, as John did in Revelation 22, in verse 20, and say, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus. I'm anxious to see You, but I'm satisfied with You because I've been awakened in Your likeness," in Psalm 17, 15 now, "but I'm so anxious to see You face to face and be purified even as You're pure," with this hope in 1 John 3:3. Jesus Christ has a need that every Word of God will operate by faith in our hearts as circumstances give us need. He has a need that every single child of God would join one another as never before in being sensitive to His needs. Would you bow your head and close your eyes?